Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's just so good to just spend time in His presence, basking in His presence, and we just praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, praise and worship team. That was so sweet and good. The Lord, for several days, has been putting in my heart just the importance of us staying connected to Him in the Spirit. Living from our spirit man instead of our emotions or our head, and just staying in tune with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk about grace and then later a little bit faith. But in the Strong's Concordance, the word for grace is charis, which is where we get our word charisma and charismatic. And the primary definition of grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. How His presence in our hearts and how it reflects in life. And it also includes acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, liberality, pleasure. And so God's presence is just within us, and that's really what grace, the main thing about grace is that His indwelling presence is there with us. It's a constant power source within us. We're going to start with Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and this is in the Message. All of the scriptures I'm going to be using tonight are in New King James, unless I specify it different. But Matthew 11, 28, it says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to Me, get away with Me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." We can all use that. Sometimes life No, that was the Message. That was their New King James, unless I say different, and that I said was the Message version. Grace is available to every person, but it has to be received by faith for it to affect our lives. When we are born again, we say, "Jesus, You're now the Lord of my life. You're my boss. You're the one I follow." And when we do, we embrace the divine influence of God in our life. When we make Him our Lord, that divine influence is in our lives, guiding us. And when we receive divine influence in our hearts, it affects our lifestyle. It affects our everyday life. One Greek scholar defined grace as a steady current of divine power. I love that. Grace is a steady current, like an electric current. It's a steady current of divine power. And it's closely related to the working of the Holy Spirit within us. Is it possible to walk away from the divine influence or grace? We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Galatians 5:4. It says, "You have become estranged from Christ, who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace." And this just means that when we return to living by works or trying to please God with ourselves, out of our own ability and own works, we've actually fallen from grace because we're not depending on that power source within us to lead us and guide us. Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many have become defiled. We're going to read the next verse, verse 16, Hebrews 12:16, in the Message version, and it says, watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. And it is possible to fall from grace. Self-righteousness or self-indulgence can separate us from grace when we walk away from listening to the Holy Spirit, God's influence in our lives. But God, of course, is merciful and just, and when we repent, He just brings us right back to Him in His presence, in His Spirit. Hallelujah. We can come back to where there's a steady current of His divine power flowing through us. Going to, I think I'm going to skip over John 1:17 and go to Matthew 3:11. And this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus. And he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Amen. So Jesus is the one that fills us with His Spirit, hallelujah, and gives us that steady current of His divine power in our hearts. Now we're going to go to John 14:16 through 17 in the Amplified. So it says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that He may remain with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see Him or know and recognize Him, for He lives with you consistently and will be in you. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us. Hallelujah. He's our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, our advocate. That's our lawyer. He stands up for us. Hallelujah. Strengthener. Amen. That's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit. John 15:4 through 5. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When we abide in the Lord and are connected to the power source, you know, we're connected to the Lord and connected to that power source, it's natural to bear the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us, because that when we're connected to Him, that's what just happens. And then we will represent Jesus or represent Jesus to the world when they see our light. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace, a steady current of His divine power, abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. This verse follows a lot of other verses about giving. And when we make Jesus the Lord of our finances and the Lord of our giving, then that grace, that divine power kicks in to provide all of our needs. Amen. We're going to read Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 9. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For grace, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not only do we receive salvation by grace, but grace is the way to live our daily lives in the kingdom, connected to that divine power source." Hallelujah. And we receive this grace through faith. So we're going to look a little bit at faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. Faith isn't something that we try to have, that we struggle to have. Because if we're struggling or we're trying, that's our flesh. It's a matter of connecting with the Spirit man. Faith comes by connecting with God through his word and his Spirit, worshiping in him and being in his presence. Hallelujah. We pick up faith in his presence. Hebrews 11:1 gives us the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of the benefits of God's kingdom. Faith is like a mirror that reflects the realities of the unseen world. Faith sees into the kingdom world, into the unseen world. Through the prayer of faith, we are able to pull the reality of the kingdom of God down to where we live. It's our connection. This is the function of faith. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And faith has its anchor in the unseen world. And faith lives from the invisible to the visible. Faith provides eyes for our spirit. It lets us see with our spirit man. And Jesus gave us some specific instructions to give us the capacity to see from our heart. We're going to look at three examples. Matthew 6:33, and it's something we all know, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." And so it's always important that we look up. Look to Jesus, look to his word, look what God is doing, not get our eyes on what's going down in the earth realm, but keep our eyes upon the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We grow in faith, learning how to see in our spirit when we worship. We don't worship to get faith, but faith is a byproduct of worship because we come into the presence of God. And that's where faith is a gift of the Spirit. It's part of the Spirit. So when we worship, when we lose ourselves in worship, faith is a wonderful blessing that we receive from it because we're connecting into the spirit realm. Hallelujah. John 4:23 says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Those who worship in the spirit and truth learn to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Psalms 22:3 just tells us that you, the God, is enthroned in the praises of Israel. In other words, God, where people are worshiping God, God reigns. You know, God reigns in the midst of worship and praise. That's where he lives, where he reigns. Hallelujah. It's in the environment of worship that we learn things that go way beyond what the intellect can grasp. And the greatest of these lessons is the value of having God's presence with us. That's awesome. When you live in fellowship with the Lord connected to the vine, it's normal for the Spirit to flow in the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Your flesh, you know, people want to be, they want to be used by the Spirit and they'll try in the flesh. You can try till you're blue in the face and you can't make it happen because it's from the Spirit. You have to be flowing from your spirit, man, to move and to have the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit flowing in your life. Sometimes in our Christian walk, it's easy to start trying to live a good Christian life in our own strength and do it ourselves. You know, kind of like a two-year, I just want to do it myself. But you can't do that. It's just like it's by the Spirit. The only way to live a spiritual life is by being directed and led by the Holy Spirit, by that grace, that flow, that divine connection and power source of the Holy Spirit within us. Galatians 3:2 says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith?" And then down to verse 5, it says, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Faith and the walking in the Spirit, or grace and faith, work together. You know, it's not what we do or the rituals that we have, or it's being connected to the spirit man. It's not something we can work up on our own. It happens in the spirit, and then it affects the natural. The invisible realm is superior to the natural realm because the invisible is superior to the natural. Faith is anchored in the unseen. Faith lives within the revealed Word of God. As we touch in the Spirit to the unseen, God reveals himself to us through his Word, through his Spirit, through worship. He makes himself real to us. And and it's important to know the Word, because what you know by the Spirit of the Word, the anointed Word of God, what you know by the anointing, it sets your boundaries for what you can believe for. In other words, if you think it's God's will for you to be sick, you have no faith for healing. I mean, why would you want to fight God? You know, people have told me, well, you know, it's God's will that I'm sick. And I'll say, well, then why are you going to the doctor and taking medicine? Are you fighting God? You know, duh. Duh. You know, we know by the Word that it's his will for us to have healing. Hallelujah. Unbelief is anchored in what is visible or reasonable apart from God. Unbelief honors the natural realm as superior to the invisible. People who believe the world, material world rules over the spiritual world call themselves realists. They are trained to only believe what they see by their natural eyes. Real faith is not living in denial of the natural realm. In other words, if the doctor says you have a tumor, it doesn't make any sense to just pretend you don't have one. But the superior or invisible tells us that on a higher level, in that invisible realm, Jesus already paid for our healing 2,000 years ago. It's already paid. It's a higher level. Hallelujah. So you don't deny the problem, rather you deny the problem a place of influence in your life. Live from the superior, from the invisible, from faith. God's will is that I'm healed. Don't let what the devil is doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. Faith is a product of the kingdom of heaven. It's a superior reality. There are no tumors in heaven. Would the devil like to put tumors in heaven? Yes. But he has no authority there. The devil only has authority where he can get people to agree with him. That's his source of authority. He has to have someone come in agreement with him and agree with him. Oh, yes, I'm suffering with a tumor, and it's a deadly tumor. And I'm, you know, if he can get you to come in agreement with what he's saying, he has a power in you. But if you say there's a tumor there, but in the natural, but there's a superior thing that Jesus has already paid for my healing. And his authority and his provision that he gave is in a higher realm than the natural thing I'm seeing with my natural eyes. There's a superior area that's in the faith realm, in the invisible realm, in the kingdom realm. Faith is born of the Spirit in the hearts of man. Faith is not intellectual or non-intellectual. It's on a higher level. Faith is a gift and fruit of the Spirit. It's in the spirit realm. It's in a higher level than our intellect. Romans 10:10. Everybody could quote this. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Through faith, man is able to come into agreement with the mind of God. The Holy Spirit lives in my spirit. That is the place of my communion with God. As we learn to receive from our spirits, we learn how to be led by the Spirit. And Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, we understand the world was made out of the invisible. What we walk on, what we plant our garden on, what we build our houses on, were made out of what was invisible. And it's solid now. So the invisible can override the visual of what we see with our light. It can do the impossible. It makes things happen in the spirit realm. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the second part of the verse, says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. An example I've used before, but it may help someone. There was this little boy that went when he was about 10 years old, and he went to the ocean for the first time, and it was where the waves came in really strong. It was near a river, and it was just like real powerful waves that could sweep people away. And he was so impressed with the power of the ocean. And so he went from his motel, he got a little bucket, and he went from his motel room, and he went and he got some of that powerful water, and he carried it to his hotel room, and he sat there and he watched it and he watched it and he watched it hours, and it just sat there doing nothing. And he had seen the power that it had in the ocean. And when you separate the spirit of the word, the letter of the word, from the spirit of the word, you don't have the anointing there that brings it to life. You need the spirit of the word working with the letter of the word. Amen. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes or is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the listening heart in the present tense that hears. This doesn't say those that have heard. It says, faith comes by hearing, present tense. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard. It comes by hearing in the present tense. So it's the listening ear that hears the Spirit speaking through the word. Hallelujah. The listening ear is ready for that deposit of faith to click in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hearing now is a key to faith. People can't even get saved without hearing. Going to Romans 10:14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you have to hear the word of God in some form to even be able to believe. One of the commandments used 62 times in the Bible says, fear not. And the reason it says fear not is because fear and faith can't work together. Fear disables you from believing. They're not compatible. They're not able to function in the same place at the same time. They're opposites. They work against each other. Fear attacks the foundation of our relationship with God. And so when God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a love and power and a sound mind. So when any time that fear comes in, it's important to immediately just say no. Command it to leave. Fear has no place here. Fear has no place here because it's impossible for fear and faith to work together at the same time. They don't mix. Satan has no power except through our agreement. Fear becomes our heart's response when we come into agreement with Satan's intimidating suggestions. Satan whispers something, this and this and this and this is going to happen, and you begin to think on it and dwell on it, and then fear can come in. Response to truth always wins out over reaction to error. In other words, don't react to the darkness, respond to truth. Always respond to truth. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, rather live in response to light. Wherever our attention is where we're going to be drawn. If we're looking at the light, we're going to be drawn to the light. If we're looking at the darkness, it's going to pull us in. You know, it's going to suck us in until we're, you know, and so, you know, we have to be careful what we look at, what we see. And, you know, I like to watch the news every day just to get a general idea, but my focus is not there. My focus is on Jesus and his plans. You know, we really believe that as the United States, we are in for a great, mighty move of God all over the country. And yet when, you know, there's a lot of churches in turmoil, a lot of people in turmoil, and all the darkness in the world. And if you get your eyes and your emotions connected to all the bad things that's happened, it will drag you down. You need to keep your, you know, we all need to keep our focus on the Lord and his plans and what he wants to do, his promises, the promises of his word. Respond to him. Respond to his light. A surrendered heart is a heart of faith, and faith must be pleasing, be present to please God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans 12:3, the second part of the verse says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So every, you know, you can't even get saved without that measure of faith. But God's given every person a measure of faith where they can hear the word and respond to it. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. The born-again experience enables us to see from our spirit, or see from the heart. Faith was never intended only to get us into the family of God. Rather, it's the nature of life in this family. Faith needs to be in our hearts every day. It's the nature of our life in Christ is to believe. You know, believers believe. Mark Bowling always said that. He says, dogs bark, believers believe. You know, it's part of our everyday life to believe God. Faith sees. It brings God's kingdom into focus. All of the Father's resources, all of his benefits are accessible through faith. Heaven is moved by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. There's a heavenly bank account that contains all that we could ever need. And faith is our debit card that gives us the access to that heavenly account. And then the scripture says faith works by love. So love is our PIN number. Are we walking in love? You know, is our debit card not working? You know, are we walking in love? We need to walk in love and believe the Lord. Have faith to access all the benefits that's ours. Faith is the meeting ground between our limited selves and our limitless God. We are limited. Our God is unlimited, and faith is the access to the unlimited God. It's a point of contact is given as a means of helping us to release our faith, something tangible, something we can do. And when we do it, we release our faith toward God. Let's look at James 2:17. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, and I put in the parentheses there, a corresponding action is dead. Obedience to what God tells us to do is our corresponding action. You know, if God tells us to do something and we obey, our faith kicks in. You know, it begins to work. If God tells you to witness to somebody or love somebody that you see in town, when you obey what God says, your faith is going to activate, and that person is going to receive from the Lord as well as you. Hallelujah. You know, we have to be obedient, and there's different corresponding action. We're going to look at Luke 5, 4 through 6. And this was Jesus talking, and he said, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I mean, he was probably thinking, I fished in the same place already. And the Lord told him, cast your nets. And he says, well, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Peter's obedience to what the Lord told him to do was his corresponding action that helped him reap a great harvest of fish. Matthew 9, 20 through 22, it said, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus' garment, for she said to herself, if I only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. This lady's touching Jesus was her point of contact. It was her connection that released her faith to receive the miracle that she needed. Hallelujah. Romans 10:9. Says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved here means deliver, protect, heal, preserve, made whole. So confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart, it says we will be saved, we will be delivered, protected, healed, preserved, made whole. Whatever we need, there's a connection between believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. Amen. While we have all have a measure of faith, faith can be increased. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues, when we worship God and get lost in worshiping God, it builds it charges our spirit battery. It builds us up. Hallelujah. And so we can increase our faith by spending time in the Spirit. Spending time praying in tongues, spending time worshiping, spending time in the Word. It builds up our faith. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we can build up our faith. Hallelujah. Acts 19:12. Says, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Here, the handkerchiefs were the point of contact for people to have the faith, to grab a hold of the faith. It was a point of contact. Hallelujah, that they received what they needed from the Lord. We're skipping down to Ephesians 6:16, and it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So faith is a shield to us. It's our protection. You know, faith keeps the enemy's arrows out. In the old time, when they carried the shields, in the Bible days, in times of war, the shield always had the name of who they were fighting with, or the symbol, the flag, or something that represented who they were fighting for. And in our shield of faith, it says the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it's Jesus. And so that means when we have our faith out there, the devil would have to come through God to get to us, and he can't do it. He can't come through God to get to us. Hallelujah. We have our shield out there. The enemy's darts cannot get through because it's Jesus out there in front of us, between those fiery darts and us. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And one more scripture, and then we're going to close. Mark 11, 22 through 24. That's skipping down a few, too. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says,'" that's a command, that means commands to this mountain, "'be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." And the last "says" is a command. But the middle one, "does not doubt in his heart, believe those things that he says will be done, whatsoever he says." 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them." So we have two things here. One of the says is to command. It's important to talk to things and command them. You know, just flu or cold or whatever it is, get out of here. If fear is coming against you, command it. Leave. Flee, leave. You have no place here. But the middle say there is in the Greek word lego, which is building blocks. And so our words, what we continually say as building blocks, is what frames where we live. If we don't like where we're living, we need to use different building blocks. Our words that we continually speak faith and speak the word of God and confess the things that God's promised us, that will be the frame that frames our existence where we live. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Lord, let's just stand up and raise our hands to heaven right now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for giving and loving us as sons and daughters. We thank you that when we worship you, that you're there in our midst. You're there with us. We thank you, Father, for your spirit. Lord, I just bless this people, Lord, with a greater hunger for you. We thank you, Lord, for Nahai Owashi Alanahai Alehiya Show. We thank you, Lord, that everyone in this building, that their ears will be open to hear the voice of the Lord. Their hearts will be hungry for you, Lord, and that they will see things in the Spirit, that they will see by the Spirit into the invisible realm, into the kingdom realm, and that Lord, we just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this people. I thank you for a greater hunger. I thank you, Lord, that we will see with our heart, that you will open up our heart to see into the heavenly realm, see into the kingdom realm. Oh, Father, Maurice and I, Ashay, we know that you are a mighty God, a great and a mighty God, a great and mighty God, and that nothing's impossible to you. And Lord, we know that you and I, oh, Ashay, we thank you, Lord, for the coming revival, that's even the presence of the Lord as it's hovering over our nation right now. We thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to look up and to see the plan and the purpose of God, and that we don't concentrate our focus down on where the enemy is fighting so hard, Lord, but that we focus on you, that we bring faith and life, and that by faith we bring that invisible world into the real world, into where we are. Lord, we thank you that your will be done on earth, in this earth, in this church, in Douglas, Arizona. Lord, we thank you that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we just thank you, Lord, for that grace of God, that power source, continual power source of the Spirit is within us. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up and giving us eyes to see and ears to hear the voice of the Lord and to see into the heavenly realm. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Jesus, for your power and your grace that's working here within us and among us. Lord, we just ask for rest for this congregation, that, Lord, I just thank you that if everyone lays down to rest tonight, we just thank you, Father, that there will be an ambient of the Spirit all around them, and that even as they sleep, their body will be healed, their mind will be healed, their heart and turmoils will just fade away. Lord, let your glory and your presence come, and that those seeds of the word of God that we've spoken and that's in our mouth will just, even while we are asleep, that will work upon us and work within us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that the angels are all about us. We thank you for opening our eyes to see into the kingdom and into that invisible world, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that there's a great heavenly host about us. And Lord, I thank you that as everyone goes home and rests, that everyone's needing rest really, really tonight, Lord. And I just thank you that the word will just be around them working, working, working. Lord, I just ask for healing in the night season. I don't know why I'm asking this, but I just ask for healing in the night season, that as people lay down to rest, that the Holy Spirit will work in them, and that healing will take place inside their physical body, within their physical body, Lord. Some people have had mental turmoil, and I just pray that it'll just be at peace. We just speak peace into the people here, Lord. We just thank you that your peace will come and settle every heart, every mind. Father, we just thank you that your presence go with each person, and that the Holy Spirit will just minister to them through the night, because I commit these people to your care, Father, to an encounter from God, from dreams from you, from words from you, even in the night season. Lord, I thank you that we are your sons and your daughters, and that you love nothing better than visiting with your children. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for heavenly encounters this night, heavenly presence of the Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill every home, every house. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Father, that your healing is flowing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word alive in our hearts. Father, we bless this people in your name with a greater hunger and sensitivity for you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, I bless this people in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Does somebody hearing something from the Spirit right now that you just, God's speaking to your heart? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. There's angels around. Yeah, an angel just touched Connie on the shoulder right now. I just feel their presence. I feel the presence of the Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here so sweet and so strong. Oh, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We just pray that the fire of God will consume us and go through us. Oh, La Raya She, burn out the dross, burn out the hurts. Father, there's a lot of people that suffered a lot of emotional hurt. And God's just ministering to that hurt. He's pouring in the oil and the wine right now. Pouring in the oil and the wine. Oh, halariti shobakani'i. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Holy, 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 holy. Okay, Alessi, Holy Spirit, work in my heart. Work in me. Just fill me with the fire of God that will consume everything that's not gold. Oh, halakeni ayosho ranai lidhiti yosho. Holy, holy, holy Lord. Holy, 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 holy Father. Oh, rai ele ashe deka huate ashe alahai. O mana haya lohori ayala ne ayana ne ayashe lini nini nini ayala rana ilini ho ashe. Oh halani hini har yanda elihi. I just hear the Lord saying, you know, there has been things that hurt you so bad in the past. And there's been just burdens and there's hurts and there's pains. But the Lord says that he wants to take it tonight. He wants you to just give it to him because the past is past. Turn loose of all those things that's hurt you in the past. Turn loose of them right now. Give them to him. Because God wants to take you into a brighter future, full of his presence, full of signs and wonders and miracles. He wants to take you to a new place in him. And you need to leave the past. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. All the hurts, all the traumas that you've had, let it go tonight. Just turn loose of it. Let it go. Just put it at the feet of Jesus because he wants to take you forward into his power, into his glory, into new things, even unusual things that the Lord will do. Great and mighty things, unusual things. The Lord's going to surprise you. He's going to surprise you with things he says and things he puts in your hands. Oh, Rahande Shanai Ya Yoto Vahai Eliande. Oh, Lahai Liliahai. Lay your plans on the foot of the cross tonight. Lay your plans. Hahanai Yosho Larahai. Give them to the Lord, and he will take you forward. I ho I say, because he has great and mighty things for you. Oh, hallelujah, and Iyashay, and those plans that were he planted in your heart, he will bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. But you don't need to carry the weight of it and make it happen. Hallelujah. Hepsi, por favor, pasa. Shini, tihina. Okay.